Back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock hour, Cofield and Company. Mateo helping out with the setup down here, Finley Toyota Studios. It's Griffin. Reno is in. The hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. You got to dial 775 in the north. We got the Burbs coming up at the end of the hour. Risk supervisor here, Patrick Berbert at TI. But let's get out to Oklahoma City, talk a little baseball, talk a little Aviators and A's with our good friend Matt Neverett, voice of the Aviators, voice of UNLV football. Matt, what's up, buddy?
Hey, happy to come on with you guys. Hope everybody had a fun, safe 4th of July, and we still all have all 10 fingers and toes, right?
Oh, yeah. We're very safe with the fireworks. I didn't melt yesterday. Cooked a little bit on the barbecue, but on the grill, sorry. 110 right now. Oklahoma City, what is it?
We are looking at about 84, a little bit of humidity, little bit of rain last night. Game was delayed by about 10 whole minutes. Shout out to the grounds crew. They did a phenomenal job with one of these quick little passing storms in the prairies.
Matt, do you prefer the dry heat or the humidity?
So I actually have lived in both. You know, I spent a lot of time in Vegas growing up, right. And then since coming back about 5 years ago. I lived in Florida for a couple of years. I've spent a lot of time in the Northeast and in North Carolina during the summers. So I've seen both, and my answer to that is emphatically the dry heat. I am not a fan of the humidity. I know my hair looks a heck of a lot better in the dry heat, which you know how important that is to me. So I like the dry heat. It's like, you know, you go out and you play golf, and everyone's like, oh, how do you die? How do you not die out there playing golf? It's like, you know, as long as you're hydrated, you know, it's a miracle what water can do for you.
I agree.
I think he's being sarcastic. Good line. All right, before we get into what the Aviators are doing on this trip and then when they come back, we do have to mention a great special that Las Vegas Aviators have right now. Is there basically a pass that starts up when they're back at home for tons of games for just one price?
Yeah, so it's the summer pass, they're calling it. You can check it out at aviatorslv.com. What it is it's $100. And I'm trying to do the quick math right now looking at the schedule. It's every home game from July 19th, which is the next home game for the Aviators, all the way through August 18th. So that's the final home game of the month of August. So we're looking at 6, 12, 15 games for $100. So you're not going to find many better deals, especially in Vegas. I remember when I saw it, I was kind of like, is this really what we're doing? Because that's a really good price. You get, like I said, 15 games for $100. You really can't beat that on a per-game basis.
Okay, let's get ready for the remainder of this series. First of all, the Aviators have fallen on a little bit of tough time. What's happened the last few games, and then what's it look like in terms of who they're facing on the mound on the other side for OKC?
Yeah, going against the Oklahoma City Baseball Club, which is what they're known by just for this year. They're going to rebrand after this season. They went with the Washington Football Team strategy after the Dodgers trademark because they were sold, but... Yeah, Aviators falling to 4-6 in the second half. They've now dropped 3 in a row to Oklahoma City. And what it's come down to is the offense. Really, not a lot of offense in the early goings. And by the time that they start scoring late, at least over the past couple of days, they've been doomed. They lost 3-1 at home on Wednesday. They dropped a 7-2 decision last night where they scored both of their runs in the top of the ninth inning with their backs against the wall. Really, the last three games, they haven't scored very, very much before the eighth. So it's been about the early offense. Oklahoma City does have the best team ERA amongst all Pacific Coast League teams, so it is really tough. But it's interesting. If you look at the leaderboards in terms of offensive leaders, in terms of individuals in the PCL, Oklahoma City has guys littered near the top. Ryan Ward leads the league with 22 home runs, and they don't really have a ton of the same that can be said about their pitching staff. However, like I said, they're the top ERA in the Pacific Coast League, so they're doing it with star power on offense. And just really good pitching top to bottom from the front end of the game to the back in terms of the mound.
Let's talk about some guys who've come through Vegas, and now they look like they may be contributing moving forward here with the big club, with the A's. First of all, tell us about Joey Estes. Young dude, Matt Olson deal. Just had a complete game the other day. Throws hard. What did you see when he was with Vegas, and what do you think of his future?
Well, that game the other day was something special. I mean, guys, there's a good chance that that's the last ever complete game shutout by an A at the Coliseum, and it couldn't have happened to a better guy. Joey Estes has been one of my favorites. He actually lives in Vegas in the offseason, not too far from the ballpark, so he works out there a lot in the winter. He's a guy that we run into a lot. Really, really nice dude. Still really young. He's got some of the best hair in baseball as well. You should have seen the reaction when we were flying to Oklahoma City of his teammates when they saw what had happened. He's a guy that's really well liked. He's got a hard, heavy fastball, and he really works well off of that with his changeup. He tunnels the pitches extremely well. He gets a ton of swings and misses on the changeup because of how effective he is with the fastball. He's a guy that has as much promise as anybody on the Oakland A's roster, and I think he's going to be a really, really solid big league arm for a long time.
Lawrence Butler, the results haven't been great so far, but solid. Young guy, 23, big dude, 6'2", 215, getting a chance to win the right field job. Tell us about Butler.
He's a really good dude. He's out of Atlanta, really, really active on social media as well. Ironically, yesterday, home run on the 4th, for number 4, it was his 4th of the year. So he definitely rises to the occasion in big moments like that. He is rangy in the outfield. Doesn't steal a ton of bases, but is really quick when he does decide to take that extra base on a single or a double to the wall or what have you. He is really, really explosive both at the plate and in the field. He's going to be a 2020 guy in terms of homers and stolen bases for a long time to come. His athleticism will certainly carry him to an extended big league career.
And last one to ask about, I thought this one was interesting. Hogan Harris, who's a lefty, he's older. He's 27. You know, I was looking at his walk numbers in the minors. I was like, wow, he's got some control issues, but since he's gone to the A's and he's gotten a handful of starts, his control is under control. What do you think has happened?
And to be honest with you guys, I don't know, because when he was with us, like you had mentioned, really, really struggled with the walks, with the hit batters. He was just always on with at least one or two guys on before the first out of just about every inning he threw at the Aviators. For whatever reason, he has been the exact opposite type of pitcher in the major leagues. And I don't know if it's just switching the stage. I don't know if it's the instruction or what. But he has been just phenomenal in terms of keeping the ball in the zone. I mean, go figure. You put the ball in the strike zone and good things happen as a pitcher. So I think Hogan Harris kind of just throwing the thought out the window, you know, just kind of going out there and producing. You hear, like, to make a football comparison, you hear about offensively you're supposed to be thinking and defensively you're supposed to be reacting. It kind of seems like that might be the case for him, going from more of an offensive mindset in that sense to a defensive mindset when he's been called up.
All right, I have a weird thought on this, and you tell me if I'm crazy. All across AAA, they're using the robot ump system for balls and strikes?
Yep.
At the major leagues, do they use that?
So what they actually did this year was, for the last 2 years, they've gone the first three games of these six-game series was full ABS, where the umpires are just relaying a signal they heard in their ear as to whether it's a ball or a strike. And then the last three games, it was the challenge system. Each team has three unsuccessful challenges a game, and the umpire can the umpire calls the game, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, when the second half started about a week and a half ago, they went away from the full ABS completely. So every game is a challenge game now. And I think that this is the way that it's going to get up to the big leagues. I think with the way that the umpires union is at the major league level, this is going to be the way that they can get them to make a concession, because they're still calling the game. And what it does is it exposes the bad umpires, sure, but it also really, really lifts up the guys that are solid. Two nights ago at Las Vegas Ballpark, both teams lost all three of their challenges. There was not one overturned ball or strike call in the entire game. Dylan Wilson was the home plate umpire then. He's the home plate umpire tonight in the Aviators game. Guys like that, it exposes them, but in a good way.
Speaking with Matt Nehra. Matt, so, of course, we're in Vegas, so we've got to ask, we've got to throw a little betting question in here. But Oakland, three-game win streak, sweeps L.A., identical scores of 5-0 the last two nights. In comes the Orioles, who I believe will be playing their fourth or fifth straight road game. They come in out of Seattle off of a loss. I don't think that Oakland can win the series, but if there was going to be one game to invest at a big underdog price, is tonight a good night to sort of ride this win streak out?
It could be, and the A's have certainly been a streaky team at this point in the year. Albert Suarez, who they're going against, comes in with a .243 earned run average on the night. He's one of the more underrated starters in the American League right now as far as new guys looking to make an impact on an above .500 team. This Orioles team has kind of been scuffling, at least by their standards so far, so it's a matter of whether or not they can turn things around on the road. Hogan Harris, who we mentioned, has been really, really solid in terms of keeping the ball in the strike zone this year, but the Orioles are one of the more aggressive teams in terms of swinging early in counts across the major leagues. Especially in a game like this against Hogan Harris. It's a matter of how much you believe in them against left-handers if you're going to bet on the Orioles. So that's a tough one tonight. You did mention it's a big dog price, but the home games of the Coliseum are winding down. You wonder when the crowds are going to start to fill in towards the end of the season, because that's certainly going to happen here in the last year, allegedly, at the Coliseum.
Well, I did like the dog price only because, you know, you look earlier in the year, Oakland went into Baltimore and took 2 of 3. and outscored them, I think, or they didn't outscore them collectively, but they beat them 3-2 and 7-6. They lost a 7-0 decision, but so there could be a little bit of confidence there.
And the interesting thing is that the A's have actually been one of the top half of teams in Major League Baseball this year in terms of one-run games. When they're close late, they've done a very good job of keeping it close. Part of that is the young team really with nothing to lose. Another part of that is the dominance of Mason Miller in the back end of that bullpen. They're not giving away a lot of runs late in games. But, yeah, this Oakland team is one that really the record, I would say, at this point in the year isn't 100% indicative of the team that they are. Now, I don't think they'll win that division or have a winning record this year, but they are a team that is on the rise mainly due to a lot of the young talent that has been through Las Vegas in the last couple of years.
Matt, what time's your pregame?
Go on at 6:50 Central, so 6:40, about a half hour from now here on the West Coast.
All right, we'll get you out of here in a second. When the Aviators are back in town, starting on, the 19th, promotions, at least for the weekend, there's a Harry Potter night, and there's a Christmas in July promotion.
Yeah, and they're giving away an elf bobblehead that night on the 20th, so you definitely don't want to miss that. Yeah, the 19th is Harry Potter night. What they're doing for that is there's going to be 2,000 hats in total. There's going to be 500 from each of the four houses from Hogwarts, if you're a Harry Potter fan. There's a maroon one, a blue one, a yellow one, and a green one to represent the four houses. And they're actually going to give them away randomly. So season ticket holders do have their pick of hats, and that's separate from the 2,000. But if you are a regular fan and want to come in and get a Harry Potter hat, you're going to get a random one. So I think we're going to see a lot of swaps that night. And then the next night on the 20th is Christmas in July. It's an elf bobblehead, but it's got the Spruce the Goose head for the first 2,000. That's one that I'm going to pilfer, guys. I have a big bobblehead collection at home, and Elf is one of my all-time favorite movies, so that's another one that I'm looking forward to. And then Sunday, the second Sunday night baseball game of the year. A new one, though, that's not on the website yet, guys, is going to be August 1st, Country Night at Las Vegas Ballpark. I think a lot of folks are really going to like that with a lot of the sponsorship elements that are going to go into it.
Nice. A little line dancing for Matt and Everett on the field. Maybe you'll teach
you know
him,
what?
Right?
I got rhythm.
Yeah, you got to practice tonight. Get out after the game in Oklahoma City. I'm sure you can find a country bar. All right, Matt, I know
there's
you're up against it. We appreciate you being flexible today. Thanks for checking in.
Absolutely, guys. Willie, Steve, happy to help.
There he is. Matt Everett, voice of the Aviators, voice of UNLV football. Was just watching the promotion they got going on for Yankees, Red Sox. We're going to get into this. Matt just mentioned bobblehead. They're doing a Seinfeld-themed bobblehead. It's George Costanza on a bobblehead. He was the assistant to the traveling. Was he assistant to the assistant? I got to look it up. I saw the bobblehead, but, yeah, the traveling secretary. He was the assistant. You remember his character. And Big George on Seinfeld, who was actually Larry David. The voice of Larry David was Big George.
I've seen episodes, but I've never watched it from start to finish.
I know you're not a Seinfeld guy.
It's not that I'm not a Seinfeld. I just never.
Well, I will tell you.
Yes.
Grimace did a hell of a job. We've talked about it a lot. Grimace throwing out the first pitch for the Mets a few weeks ago, got their season turned around. All the credit goes to him. This bobblehead better do something for the Yankees, or they better go get some help because their pitching's starting to fade. They are the worst team in baseball over the last 17 games. They are 4-13.
Yep.
No time to panic, but they've had a rough go of it. We'll come back. More WNBA, some NFL coming up in just a little bit, and Patrick Berbert to get us the numbers.
Hanging at the Golden Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN. Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Baseball slate starting up. Got 55 plus TVs down here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Watching the Euros earlier as France and PKs gets past Portugal. Now it's time for the Big Four at Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
I thoroughly enjoyed the hot dog eating contest yesterday, Coney Island. There was something missing, though. And you know what? Here, I'll give it to them. MLE, obviously in conjunction with ESPN, made sure to mention Chestnut a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they ignored the story that he wasn't there. But there was something missing.
He's kind of become... It would be like if you remove the Lions or the Cowboys from Thanksgiving, right? Would you say that's the same?
No, I think it's bigger.
He's bigger.
I don't know if he's bigger than the Lions or the Cowboys, but no.
The situation.
A grand champion in anything, not competing, when you know he can, and then he's eating at some charitable event in Texas shortly after.
But that's not what I mean.
Meant tradition. Okay.
Yeah, like if he wasn't, if he lost, if he gets, when he finally gets knocked off, he's still got to be a part of that. Like, it just seems like, you know, he's got to be a part of that tradition, absolutely. Like back in the day, the Bulls on Christmas Day, the Cowboys, Lions on Thanksgiving. I mean, Chestnut, Nathan's.
I get it.
Cofield and company.
Wait, what? did you like that Chestnut did the event, I don't know, 5 hours later and supposedly did 57 dogs in 10 minutes?
Well, I did like that he went and did his own thing, absolutely.
I don't. I think he should have taken the high road. I think it took some shine away from Bertoletti and the other competitors. But I fully support his battle, his labor battle against MLE. And by the way, I just said he supposedly ate, I think it was 57 dogs. I don't know what kind of dogs they were. I didn't see buns. Were they veggie dogs? I mean, well, it makes a difference. I read, you got to tell us what kind of dogs he ate.
Yes.
The dogs are, there's all different types of dogs.
Well, especially when that's the storyline.
Yes.
That's the storyline is why he's not. But here's my thing. I asked you earlier, and you said that as the competition got thicker over the years, his numbers went up. Well, if he's eating a healthier hot dog, shouldn't he be able to eat more than 50 whatever?
Well, that was in 5 minutes, though. They're doing
10. Oh, that's right. That's right.
He's on a pace.
Yeah,
technically,
he was on pace to eat 106.
Well, technically, you can't double it. But
okay, so let's go 1.5.
Right. I don't know what kind of hot dogs they were. He seemed to be on a pace to eat like 85, which I think is crazy. I don't think he could do that. So he's gonna get all the promotion he wants. Mm. The Netflix event on September 2nd against Kobayashi is a great idea, and I hope they get such big numbers on the Netflix event with Impossible Foods backing him, because that's why he's not there. He signed a hot dog deal with Impossible Foods,
right,
and Veggie Dogs.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
And either Nathan's or MLE wouldn't pony up the money. I actually hope they do such monster ratings that Impossible go. I think Impossible signed him for like $300,000. I hope Impossible's like, you know what? This has been worth so much to us. We're giving you 3 years and $3 million. And he never goes back.
I think leaving
the door open, MLE in the chaise, mm-hmm, ridiculous.
Let's take the competition out of this. Mm-hmm. If there was one food, doesn't have to be a brand, that you'd want to be signed by, what kind of food is it?
I don't know, man. I got to think about this one.
This is just slam dunk for me.
Really? Mm. I actually, because I'm one of the few people outside of like Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and South Florida who likes this, I would love a deal with Skyline Chili.
Oh, okay.
It is so ripped on around the country. I love it. Love it.
I just want New York style pizza.
You gonna pick a pizza place?
It doesn't.
Do you go with a national brand? You go with Sbarro?
No. I can't even believe I should just walk out.
Salespeople working on a deal for Sbarro. Today's Spot with Willie Ramirez brought to you by Sbarro. He loves it. He's always said he loved it.
It would have to be Carmine Vento, who brought the original Villa Pizza here in 76, 74, 76. The original one in the commercial center by Town Pump Liquors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number three. Willie sends over a note. Adam Hill was correct in calling out officiating after Power Slap 8 for flinching by Paige Van Zandt. I push back on it. Again, I think he's got an agenda.
He does.
He's anti-Power Slap.
No.
I saw flinching from everyone.
Right.
Including
that's the point.
Crazy Hawaiian.
That's the point.
How do you police it? That's the question.
Because I was at the first seven. I didn't get to go because of the NHL draft to this one. I was at the first seven. We not called out Dana White, but we asked Dana at the press conference, like, Dana, there was a lot of flinching tonight. Either you got to regulate it or eliminate that rule. What is the deal? And he admitted He said, no, we have to do something about this.
They can't.
The first six, there were barely, they called it out or there was barely any.
Yep.
The fouls, the biggest thing that they did, I felt that they over-officiated was the stepping rule. When you once your feet are planted, you have to come flat-footed,
right?
But then they would lift the foot, and there was so they. But I felt they were better regulated, better officiated through the first six. Power slap seven. We questioned the officiating, and Dana acknowledged that they need to do a better job and start figuring it out. Now I didn't get to go to eight live, Adam did not. Adam dislikes
it. What a dog
it.
And pony show by him because he doesn't like power slap. So now he's going to get outraged over the rules. Cut it out. Silliness.
Stop it.
And there is no way to regulate it because it's always going to look arbitrary. They almost have to set a rule like your nose can't pass a certain.
I'm going to tell you how you regulate it. You want to know how you regulate it?
What is the word if we drew a line straight up and down? Axis? Or is that? I don't know what that is. North
I'm
to
going
south, side to side.
Tell you how to regulate it. There's one way you add one rule and all of a sudden it's regulated. Got to close your eyes.
Some people do it.
Yes, that's right. Close your
eyes. Is there a science? I wonder if there is a science, though, closed eyes, opened eyes, in terms of the pain and the impact.
Well, I think you psychologically prepare for the shot.
So scary.
But nevertheless, you're still receiving the same shot, and the concept is the exact same. You can't move. You can sit there and visualize it and prepare for it mentally, but you're supposed to be the exact same thing. Here, you're just not seeing it coming.
Hot dog eating. And power slapping. We love
big
it.
Force,
number
yes.
two.
Number two.
All right. I think this is a labor story. We're already seeing it develop. Dak Prescott does not have an extension. I think this is absurd. I'm not going to get too worked up about it because most of these quarterback situations, they settle it. But if it's approaching the season, like 2 weeks into August, and Dak Prescott doesn't have a deal, especially after recently wearing a walking boot because of a foot sprain. Dude, if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm seriously thinking like, hey, I'm not playing, man. Contract or bust.
So you think the walking boot was a farce?
I didn't say that. Oh. No, I take it more like he's already suffering issues with injuries. I am not risking a debilitating injury because Jerry Jones has no loyalty.
Right.
And this ain't Zeke Elliott. It's a quarterback who could have won the MVP in his prime, and you're still jerking him around?
I wish I knew that link before when I knew that I was coming on today. I would have added it to what I already sent because which teams will land Dak, and the Raiders were I can't remember who wrote it, but it was Raiders are the top of the heap.
I am the only person in the country who suggested last year the Raiders needed to jump on the Discord between Dak and Jerry and go get him.
In the country, you're the only one.
Only one.
Wow.
That's my new thing, by the way, because everyone else does that. I'm the only one. The only one. I can find the audio.
You and Stephen.
Send me audio from the radio show saying the Raiders need to trade for Dak Prescott a year and a half ago.
I thought about audio today. Remember how I used to always
year.
Say, I got to find the audio? I wanted to find the audio from before the playoffs when I predicted the Stars would beat the Rangers. I was wrong, by the way. But also that, because I remember, I can hear your voice going, whoa! And I said, has Bruce Cassidy lost the locker room?
We don't have that audio. Number one.
Number one.
Our system is very selective. It only grabs my positive stuff that I...
Got it.
It immediately erases anything if I'm wrong.
Got it. Oh, look what's number one.
Why did so many guys leave on Monday? Why did so many guys leave VGK on Monday?
Steve.
What's going on here?
That's just it. It's not a matter of, well, over the course of first week of free agency, everybody that was available walked. Day one, they jumped ship. They signed elsewhere. And now Marchessault is doing more media availabilities, and we're hearing, oh, no, well, it was somewhat the same. They were deferred this. It was this. I really do have to wonder if a lot of the rumblings that I had heard in terms of just, you know, you tend to believe, you know, that George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon know what they're doing. They did build a whether you like the expansion drafts or not, they did build a powerhouse team that has won a Stanley Cup in the first 6 years, been to the Stanley Cup twice, a couple of conference finals, right? So I think they do know what they're doing. But the locker room, I remember the last year that DeBoer was here, the year they didn't make the playoffs, and I asked at the exit interviews, is it the same? Is the chemistry the same? Did they, you know, I wonder the same thing right now, but I'm wondering if Cassidy's lost the locker room, honestly.
You think this is a Cassidy problem and not a management problem?
I do, because that's why Cassidy sort of got run out of Boston. He lost the locker room. He had a discord with the players, so I'm wondering if the honeymoon's over.
Well, I know right now fans are teed up to listen to anything. They're not happy. We'll talk about Marcisseau in the 5 o'clock hour, but there's some weird things at times with this management group. And yet, most of us stand back and we're like, well, they won a cup, so you just got to deal with it. I'm not so sure. There can be some critical analysis on this.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
We'll get more into the Golden Knights and the losses at the beginning of the week. Marcisseau and others, Willie suggesting might be some issues where players want to go elsewhere when they had the chance to. Many of them did. A couple nights ago, had seen the ads, promotions for Axel F. You watched it?
I did.
Beverly Hills Cop 4, I guess, technically?
That's the fourth one, right?
I think so. They actually referenced the first three when they were talking to him about arrest reports.
Yeah.
And it was like every year of the first three movies.
I
thought it was good. I thought it was funny. I love the harkening back and using all the original music. That was great.
Yes. Where'd you rank it?
I have one issue. Rank it where?
Among the...
I don't know that I've seen all three before this. Maybe two.
Okay, the worst one of them all was 3, where he goes to Wonderland or some weird, whatever, the Wally World. I didn't like that one.
I thought this was good. I thought it was funny.
I liked this one.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Any issues?
No. I mean, they did the best that they could. Yes. Considering the age of Eddie Murphy and Judge Reinhold, like the running scenes when they were in, or John Astin putting them in action, I thought like when
John
they went
Astin,
to,
that was crazy.
When they put him in the mansion, and it was almost like in the first one where he goes, everybody, you know, put your, so it was almost like they duplicated a lot of stuff. But to watch them have to run and chase and pursue at this age, I don't have a problem with it.
I'm not going to get worked up about it.
They did the best with it, what they had to work with.
Let me do sports radio if I need to until I'm 75.
Right.
So I don't wish that upon anyone.
Right.
But John Astin at 76, being the chief. The other thing that was great, I'm not going to spoil the shootout scene, but it is amazing what handguns can do against machine guns.
Yeah.
And how inaccurate machine guns are.
Here's what I loved. Here's one thing that I did love.
Yeah.
Was the vile language that they kept part of it. Because, you know, when you get older, right? I mean, you see these actors as they get old.
Yeah.
Like Eddie Murphy. Like, I watch old clips when he was on Johnny Carson. And he was a wise ass when he would come out and be a special guest. And his brand was growing. And he put 3-4 back-to-back-to-back blockbuster movies. Now you see him and he's a little more, but he tells the funny stories, but he's a little more humble. Like, I felt like they kept that part of it. Like, when Astin gets mad at him because he accuses him of being a part of the...
Spoilers!
No. But he tells him, F you, get out of my office! Like, there's still the yelling and the screaming and the... So, I liked it. I liked it. It's definitely better than 3. It's the age. It's the age of them that I think keeps it, because you're so used to Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, 63. Judge Reinhold, 68. John Astin, 76. The music was dynamite. I do have to say, one of the main themes, and I think it's the song that is actually named Axel F, I immediately went to Peter Griffin with the... But I just couldn't get that out of my head. The other thing I had trouble with is, when Eddie Murphy yells and gets high, what do you think of? Shrek.
Oh.
Donkey,
yeah.
I'm like, I can't get
Are you
get
talking
out
about Paul
head.
Hardcastle?
Yes, I believe so.
You said Peter Griffin.
No, Peter Griffin.
Who was that?
from Family Guy?
Oh.
You've never seen the version of Axel F. where he's just...
Oh, no.
He's dancing and he's doing it with his own little humming voice?
I'm sorry. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I did love that they did bring it. They brought up a lot of the old movies. They brought the Pointer Sisters back.
Oh, right. When the SO and I heard that, we were because we love the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah. Here's the thing. That's one of those movies, like, when Beverly Hills Cop came out and Beverly Hills Cop 2 came out, what didn't we have that we were able to pay attention? We didn't have smartphones.
Yep.
So I've already watched it. I fell asleep on it watching it the first time, not because it bored me, because it was at night. And I'm old.
Yeah.
So...
Well, you got up early.
So I had to watch it again, but now I will probably watch it a third time.
Your reference to the phones, is that because you're looking at your phone? Or a lot of times,
I know
what we do. We sit there on the couch, we're watching the movie, and then I'm looking stuff up.
Right.
I
do that all
I wouldn't have known all the ages had I not been like, oh, my God, I can't believe how old Judge Reinhold is.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, Risk Supervisor at the Treasure Island Sportsbook, Patrick Berbert, joins Cofield and Company.
Patrick is here. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on? Going good over here.
Favorite day of the 4th, 5th, and 6th. Yesterday, even though it's not officially Hot Dog Day, we call it Hot Dog Day. Hot Dog Day, today is National Bikini Day, tomorrow is National Fried Chicken Day. Hot dogs, bikinis, fried chicken, about as American as you can get. What's your favorite? Pressure's on.
On the clock here, so I got to be careful with this answer. But but I'm going to go, you got to go the
You're second. Lying. I can already tell you're lying.
Bikini day.
Exactly. Why?
Say it.
You got a beautiful pool out back. There's people walking around. Women in bikinis. Let's do it.
They're walking through the Golden Circle Sports Bar. Come on now.
Does it show our age that I have bikinis third?
No, because you have an SO.
I'm not going to get in trouble for that.
That's not why I said it.
Yeah. Her and her friend. It's funny. Yesterday, her and her friends. I was kind of catching the convo from another part of the room. We had some people over for the fourth. Her and her friends were talking about some guy she had worked with, and they were just raving about how good-looking the guy was back in the day, like 30 years ago. And they looked him up, and they were like, oh, he looks great. Like, I don't take any offense to that.
But that wasn't my point. My point is that you have an SO, so you're not going to be looking that direction. If you were single, Bikini Day may be still top your charts.
Mateo probably knows our biggest regret.
Is having an SO?
No. Is that when we do the shows at the pool on Thursdays that we're not – it would be hot as Hades. But I would love to be down on the lowest level by the pools.
Oh, okay.
Well, it would be well, it actually wouldn't be distracting for me because if we were still inside, I can't see. I've shielded myself.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard this, but Salerno over there, first show he did probably about 6 Thursdays ago, he apologized on the air because he's like, I was completely distracted. I couldn't pay attention.
Well, what did he screw up that day, remember?
I have no idea.
I answered a question, then you turned around and asked me the exact question.
He did. All right. So your favorite is?
Which out of one? Those three?
Yeah.
Oh, in order. It's going to be bikinis, fried chicken, and you can just take hot dogs doesn't even belong on my list.
I'm going
my
fried
stomach
chicken,
won't accept it.
Fried chicken, hot dogs, and bikinis. There you go. We were in here right before the show. It was standing room only for soccer, for Euros. How has it been from a gambling standpoint?
It's been awesome for us. We were expecting a big soccer crowd, but we've been actually really blown away by how many people have been coming in to bet and watch these games. And you had two phenomenal games today, so it was really exciting all day long in here.
I saw France-Portugal PKs. What was the other game?
The other game was Spain-Germany, and that went to extra time as well.
I heard some people thought Germany got hosed. Anything controversial in the game?
It was kind of hard for me to be glued to the TV the whole game because I was working as well. But
all right. Yeah. So right now, do you have any liability on a team to win it?
For a team
Euros?
To win it, no. I think we're sitting in a good point right now.
All
so.
Right. What about Copa America?
Copa America. We're kind of hoping for an Argentina Brazil final. That would be a good outcome.
Was there a significant amount bet on the U.S. team to do anything? And this is revisionist history. I'm going back because I know what happened now. But were people bullish on America?
Absolutely. Just because it's USA, people were coming in and they were just betting USA off the walls.
Considering one of the games will be played here, right? They're going to bring, what is it, the quarterfinal will be here. Do you automatically expect a little bump in action? Would all the books, I would imagine, could, you know, the people that are staying here, maybe they got room here to go to the game?
If I'm not mistaken, I think Brazil is playing here coming up. And absolutely, yeah, because we saw a bunch of people, even last week, the games that were here, they were coming in and placing their bets before they were going over to watch the game.
So also going on is Wimbledon. I'm curious if there's a big name that, you know, like you have a golf tournament, right? PGA. If Tiger's in it, there's going to be people glued. You're going to get action. Is there one person, male or female or both, that you count on to sort of drive action?
Carlos Alcaraz, he's the young up-and-coming star in tennis right now. He's got a couple majors under his belt. A lot of people are shifting towards him now that, you know, Roger Federer is done. Nadal's days are over, and then Joker's coming towards the end of his career as well. So Carlos Alcaraz is always a big, big liability for us.
Patrick Berbert is here with us from Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We talked a lot about kind of guesswork on what could happen in free agency in the NBA, and then stuff did happen. Have we had some shifts in odds? Or people seem very down on the Lakers' chances. They were going to have to make a big – well, people believe they have to make a big splash. I think if they actually team build with some creative deals, they can make themselves better. But has there been a rise or a drop with anyone based on what's happened so far in free agency?
Since our conversation we had last week, the 76ers did make their way down to 8-1. With us, with the Paul George sign-in. As far as a market perspective, that's where most books are at on the 76ers. I personally don't agree with it. And the reasoning behind that is you know, Paul George, it's hit or miss whether he's going to be on the floor come postseason. That's number one. And number two, a big thing that hurt the 76ers this past year was that they didn't have three-point scoring coming off the bench. And, you know, you go and draft Jared McCain to help that out, but then you get rid of Buddy Hield, who was that guy that can shoot threes off the bench for you. So it's almost like they're right back where they started.
Is there a reason, because they still have some flexibility to make moves, you mentioned Hield, but is there a reason to get excited about GSW?
Golden State Warriors, I think that this move was actually really good for them in the perspective that, you know, Klay Thompson – problem with him was is that he thought he was still in his prime, and that was holding them back a little bit. Now you go and you get a Buddy Hield, you sign these role players, Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton, and you know you're going to still allow Curry to do his thing. If Draymond can stay out of trouble and stay on the court, they've got Kuminga coming off the bench. There's still a lot of pieces on this Golden State Warriors team that can play really well together.
I don't think people will go gaga on the markets for where, and maybe I missed it in the last 2 hours, but for where Markkanen lands, but he is an impact player.
Absolutely, for the Jazz, yes. And we're depending on where he goes. That
right?
could be a big pickup.
It could be a
that.
Big pickup. And we've mentioned some of the teams that could still be in on him. So that's pretty significant around the NBA. Willie?
NBA Summer League coming to Las Vegas. Do you expect some action there? And Bronny's going to obviously attract some attention. There's some other names in, you know, that obviously will be coming here. What do you expect the action to be like?
I think we're always really busy for Summer League. The past couple of years that I've been here and we've had it here, it's been really good. I think that Bronny being here is going to help us out even more, just due to the fact, reminiscent in the past, this past year when Bronny played for USC, they played here open at night.
That's right.
And it was really packed in here. People came in to bet the game. And
he didn't even play.
That's correct.
I actually sat with his mom and talked to her at halftime and wrote about that for AP, and I remember she didn't even. And the women played also. That was when Juju Watkins made her debut, and the big local story was with Aaliyah Gales. So, let me ask you that. Let me feed off of that. The hype about the WNBA and the increase right in revenue with as far as sports betting is concerned, is there talk about starting to take action on the regular season, maybe the prime time, the TV games, the national television, on women's college basketball?
I mean, you got to kind of start to put it into perspective. I mean, this past year, it's really came about to where it's been in the past at a much higher level. So you really got to look at it going forward to where the women's game is going.
Patrick Berbert is with us. we've talked a lot, and we're still have to finish up our hot dog eating championship breakdown. When do we get to bet on this? And would you guys want to book it?
It all depends with the Nevada gaming regulations. It gets a lot tricky when judges are involved with certain things, and then just a whole bunch of different rules that come into factor with it. I don't think we're going to see it anytime soon, but obviously it's really disappointing without Joey Chestnut in it.
It is. I guess I'm a hot dog eating contest enthusiast. I think my biggest issue with it, and I really didn't even get a chance to read up on this today, is it's one of those contests, like I think Major League Eating, yes, there is a Major League Eating, takes it seriously, but I don't know, I know I'm going to sound like a lunatic here, I don't know that they actually count the hot dogs as accurately as they need to for something that is gambled on. Does that sound crazy? Right. I think you would have a lot of people coming in going, that's bull crap, that number's wrong.
And that's exactly why, as of right now, Nevada is so strict on those regulations.
You know what I'm talking about, Willie?
I do.
So in a contest like this that was so close, it didn't matter in the past when Chestnut – I mean, it did. But it didn't matter as much when Chestnut was outpacing second place by 18. But when you've got five guys from 58 down to, like, 47, and then it's funny, we talked to two other competitors. We talked to the women's champion, Mickey Sudo, about 2 weeks ago. We talked to her husband, Nick Weary, earlier this week, and they both said the same exact thing. They used the term – debris. This sounds crazy. But what they're talking about is the buns, and as you watch, they're dipping the buns, and buns, like little pieces of the bun, are dropping on the table. I know this sounds crazy, but in the sports gambling world, like stuff like that
matters.
It does.
Yeah, because you have to put it in the fine print that this has to, you know, how is that counted? Is it, you know, or you would just have to say, hey, we understand that as debris is following, it's going to be counted as a whole. So, because they could turn around and come back with the ticket. I got a quick question.
He didn't answer yet.
Okay, go ahead.
So on accurately counting, you know, you already said, hey, that's why Nevada Commission is a little bit nervous on it. I mean, I would assume that's part of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he was talking about the fine print as well. Like, you would have to put all the stipulations in your house rules as well in case somebody was to take you to game.
Yep. And that's why, as much as I love the national anthem, the final number on the national – I meant the national anthem in the Super Bowl. I love the national anthem. Right. But in the Super Bowl, when you watch online after that goes off, there's like 17 different times listed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So has to be an exact way to keep score or you're out.
There is one exact way we keep score here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Where are you from?
I'm originally from New York.
Okay, well, it's Nevada, not Nevada.
Oh, no.
You said it twice, so you
did it. That's so, it. He's banned.
Yeah, the whole thing about debris and his asking and your answer, it completely threw me off because you did it twice, and I was lost from there. I didn't even pay attention to anything you said. I was waiting my turn. It's Nevada, Patrick. It's not Nevada.
Do you go Oregon?
Noted. Oregon.
You got okay.
Oregon.
Is it Louisville?
Louisville.
That was good.
Was
is it New Orleans?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Well, he's okay. Okay. All right.
Okay. Those are all whatever. I'm from Nevada.
I know.
You're now here. It's Nevada.
It is a problem around the rest of the country.
It's major.
It's major.
It's big time.
It's bigger than debris.
Yeah, it is. And we have Reno in right now, so the listeners are going, Willie's right. It's Nevada.
Well. In the end, Willie is helping you because we will get a text or two.
Yeah,
maybe not on you, but
I don't want you to get beat up.
When people come on and they take it pretty seriously. I think we're a thick-skinned state, but that's the one thing we're not that thick-skinned about. All right, what are you most excited about in terms of the next, say, couple of weeks, some football numbers that you may be getting up? Like, what are you guys talking about right now?
Yeah, we have all our college football numbers up, but we have our NFL season wins, NFL week one ready to go, so we're looking to get all that revenue in here and start taking some handle on all those games.
All right, Patrick, we appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
5 o'clock hour is on the way. I think I got my debris rant out of the way, but plenty to get to in our final hour.